Father, we read so much in the Bible about leprosy and how folk in biblical times treated it as something to be avoided like the plague. Yet, Lord, we know that you healed lepers amongst all the people that you healed. And we know that although there is no cure for leprosy, there is treatment that will stop some of the worst of the effects. And we pray that as Wendy comes to share with us later, you will open our hearts to hear what you are saying to each one of us. Lord, may we each hear something different from you, that we will take away and think, Lord, I pray that you will speak to each one of us, you will open hearts and minds tonight, and that you will bless us as we share in this time of fellowship together for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's stand and sing that one.
No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other count I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. It is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour He will stay. I labour on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven, the future sure, it has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. I can sing, I am free, yet but I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you. Please be seated. So, we're talking about freedom this evening, and I suppose one of the greatest passages about freedom comes from Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You, who are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. you have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion doesn't come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Powerful words at the end there. And I'll leave Wendy to follow that up in a few moments. But before I invite her to come and join us, sorry Ian, one of my favourites, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Darkness shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, send us free by the truth you now bring us, shine on me. Come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. On your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory, mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with. with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
It's over. Any time that particular song's used in the service was, shall we say, certain conversation about whether we should or not, usually initiated by the pianist. But there we go. Anyway, time for me to shut up and introduce you to Wendy. Yeah, you're on.
Can I just say, a huge thank you for inviting me to speak this evening. We were looking back and I was only here just a couple of months ago speaking in your midweek group, and that was wonderful. So it's lovely to be here again and actually speaking as part of one of your mission services this evening. The theme is freedom, if you hadn't already worked that out. And actually, it was really lovely to sing some of those songs and hymns, some of them older, some of them newer. But I grew up with Graham Kendrick coming to my school, because I grew up in Croydon in South London and his children attended. And so I had the privilege of him coming every so often, you know, once a year perhaps, and performing the latest music when it was, and that was one of them. And so it was really lovely to sing that this evening. But we're going to turn this evening to Galatians 5. But I take that as a good sign. England scored. It's very distracting seeing them outside. But I'll take that as a good sign. Anyway, we will focus this evening on the subject of freedom and this passage from Galatians 5, 1 to 14. If we could have the first slide. Oh, forgotten about that slide. Okay, let's start with this. This is a reminder of what, sorry, I'd forgotten I'd put that in, of what leprosy is, but I think we need some sound. So if we can restart it in a moment. Sorry, I'd forgotten that I'd put that one in. That is basically a summary of leprosy. So you may not know what leprosy is, or you may have heard about it a long time ago, unless you came to my midweek group. And it is actually a nerve disease. It's not a skin disease. As this short clip reminds us, every 2 minutes someone somewhere in the world is diagnosed. Have a think about how many minutes you've been in this building this evening and how many people have been given the devastating news that they have leprosy. A more staggering fact than that is that for every person we find and diagnose, we believe 19 people are hidden away because of the terrible discrimination that still surrounds people with leprosy. So although we don't have colonies as such, where people are sent away and not able to return, because we now have the antibiotics, which were discovered in the 1980s, in a sense, people can still feel ostracized. Often people are divorced, or they're hidden away, they live a secret life, or they come forward very late for their diagnosis, which leads to, as you can see in the banner there, severe disability. So this is just a quick recap to remind us what leprosy is. Thank you.
I wonder if I can have 2 minutes of your busy day today for my friend Arshad. Arshad has leprosy. That's right. Today, Arshad is living with leprosy. In fact, he's one of more than 200,000 people who are newly diagnosed each year. Arshad is feeling full of shame and sad because people in his community believe he is contagious and that he is cursed. And worse, he's feeling worthless because most people in the world believe that leprosy hasn't existed since ancient times. Arshad would like you to know more about his disease. Leprosy is a mildly infectious condition caused by a bacteria related to tuberculosis. 95% of us are naturally immune to it, but it's more common in countries where poverty is rife and people's immune systems are not strong. If left untreated, leprosy causes damage to large nerves in the hands and feet, so the patient simply doesn't feel it when they hurt themselves. These wounds, and the ulcers they often cause, can ultimately lead to permanent disability, amputation, and despair. Leprosy is also one of the world's most stigmatizing diseases. Whole families see their education, job, and marriage prospects affected by discrimination and misunderstanding, often being denied their basic human rights. Even if aware that they have leprosy, patients fear being diagnosed, so fail to seek treatment, perpetuating a vicious cycle of disease, disability, and discrimination. 3 million people in the world are living with irreversible disabilities caused by late treatment of leprosy, but since 1982, an effective cure has been available. None of this has to happen. Arshad has been receiving support from the Leprosy Mission for a while now. We're a global charity working to diagnose, treat, and rehabilitate those who are suffering from this dreadful disease. After medication cured Arshad of leprosy, surgery helped him to use his hands and feet again. Now he's studying at one of our training centres so he can get a job and sustain himself. And thanks to awareness raising in his community, people now know that those affected by leprosy should not be outcasts and have the same rights as anyone else. We don't just help cure leprosy. Our hope is for more people to be educated about the disease. Since you started watching this film, somewhere in the world, someone has been diagnosed with leprosy. Show your support by sharing this video. We can't turn back the clock, but we can stop it ticking on this silently destructive disease. Thanks for watching.
There's usually lots of questions when I go out and speak about leprosy, so keep those in your mind and we'll have a chat over the tea and coffee later. And feel free to ask me anything you'd like to and I'll try and answer it. But in summary, the charity has been going for 150 years this year, so it's a special year for the Leprosy Mission. We're the largest leprosy charity in the world. It was started by just two people. So if you're guilty of thinking, well, what difference can I make? Well, two people have made an incredible difference in this world by starting this charity. And as I say, we in Leprosy Mission Great Britain, we serve actually in 9 countries. We've had to pull out of Sudan recently because it's too dangerous for our staff to work there at the moment. But we work in 5 Asian countries. And 4 African countries, and those are India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Myanmar, and Bangladesh in Asia. And in Africa, we serve in Niger, Nigeria, Ethiopia, and Mozambique. And if you want to know where leprosy exists, it exists wherever there is poverty in this world. But we are going to focus on freedom this evening in our passage. So if we could have the first slide, and we're going to be focusing specifically on the work in Nigeria at the moment. I think we'll skip on, don't worry, we'll skip through this. Carry on. keep going. Here we go. Thank you. If we could move on to the first slide now. Thank you. So when you hear the word freedom, I wonder what you think of and what that word means to you. A colleague of mine was there in New York at the Statue of Liberty over 20 years ago. And it was that weekend that some might say that he and his wife both lost their freedom because he proposed and she said yes. In seriousness, though, the word freedom has many meanings to different people. Perhaps it means for some being set free from some form of control over their lives. To others, maybe it's being able to express their opinion without feeling fearful. Others still think of freedom as the absence of any limitations on how we are to live. And we've got 2 teenagers and a prenater at home, as we call her. And I think that's their idea of freedom, you know, being able to do anything and not have any boundaries imposed on them. And over 1,800 years before the Statue of Liberty was gifted to the Americans by France, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, made his great declaration for freedom, the gift of Christ to the church. In verse 1, Paul writes, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We're going to look at this topic of freedom that Paul was writing about under three headings. The first one is freedom from striving. I don't know how you feel this evening, but life can feel like that sometimes. Always striving in all different areas of our lives. Secondly, freedom from ourselves. Do you need to be freed this evening from an area that's holding you back in your life? Freedom from ourselves. And finally, freedom to serve. As you can see, this is a photograph of a young man, and his name is Abu Bakr. He's 20 years old, and he lives in Nigeria. When he was just 9 years old, he started to get high temperatures, and then noticed these strange patches and sores appearing all over his body. His mother was naturally worried, and she desperately strived to get help from traditional healers. But the herbs that she was given didn't help, and the illness continued. It took a further 3 years of striving before she heard about Chanchaga Hospital, and she was able to take her son there. Finally, they learned the devastating truth that he had leprosy. When he heard the word leprosy, Abu Bakr did what many other people, young people, would do. He wept. And so did his mother, who was standing alongside him. They cried with fear and worry about the future. What would happen next? All Abu Bakr wanted to do was to go back to school and play with his friends. But instead, he had to stay in the hospital for further treatment. His life was changed forever. He feared that he would be enslaved to the disease for the rest of his life and subject to discrimination. And at the heart of the leprosy mission, and I'm sure yourselves, is that there will be one day where there will be zero discrimination for people affected by leprosy, and that people with leprosy will no longer have to strive to fit in through no fault of their own. Can we have the next slide, please? Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." So what's the yoke of slavery that Paul's talking about here? Well, in verses 3 and 4, he tells us it's the law. And in those days, there were three types of laws. Ceremonial laws, which includes the circumcision, which is talked about in this passage. There were civil laws, and there were moral laws, like the Ten Commandments. All these laws were given because God cares deeply about his people and every aspect of our lives. He wants us to live well together. But the Christians in Galatia had misunderstood the law. Some of them were striving to keep the ceremonial law and demanding that the new Gentile Christians should be circumcised, which Paul had taught was no longer necessary. Jesus' death and resurrection had brought a new covenant, which had replaced the symbol of circumcision. The Galatia church showed that in striving to keep the ceremonial law, their confidence was still in that law, rather than in the good news of Jesus. It is only through Jesus that they could have that right relationship with God and with one another. Those ceremonial and civil laws don't apply to us today. But of course, we should follow the moral laws if we want to live full and productive lives for God. It isn't always easy. In fact, it's impossible in our own strength. But God, in his grace, puts his spirit within us. He writes his law in our hearts. And we're reminded of this promise in Ezekiel, in chapter 36, verse 27, where it says, I will put my spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees. Therefore, our confidence shouldn't be in our ability to keep the law, but in God and his spirit at work within us. Just as the church at Galatia were at risk of becoming enslaved to all these laws, without God's help, we would be enslaved to the moral laws, which would leave us feeling helpless as we continually strive to achieve them. Next slide, please. I wonder if you remember a time when you were first dating your spouse, or you had made a new friend, and you were constantly trying to win their approval, striving to say the right thing, do the right thing, be the right person. It can be hard work and exhausting. But perhaps as your romance blossomed or you became friends, you realized you couldn't achieve those objectives all the time. We call it when the cracks start to show, don't we? However, when you realize that this person loved you and accepted you for who you are, it began to feel different. You wanted to please them, not just to make them love you or like you back, but out of a freed heart. The feeling of striving had gone. We are only free to love God and others when we recognize God's love and his unconditional acceptance for us. God sent his one and only Son to die for us so that we can have an eternal relationship with him that starts now. In such a relationship, we recognize that true freedom is to be freed from our own worldly desires and the struggle that they can bring. And this leads us to our next point, which is freedom from ourselves. Next slide, please. In verse 13, Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature." Our old, full nature can lead us at times to feel unnecessarily anxious, afraid. Perhaps it makes us envious of other people, inappropriately angry, greedy, lazy, and I could go on. We can have that overwhelming desire to put ourselves first, our feelings first. However, when we genuinely recognize God's love for us and how Jesus has put us in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father, out of love, we submit to Jesus and the Spirit to lead us. We recognize our need to be free from our fallen nature and understand that the law was given to help point us to Jesus. He's the only person who was able to completely fulfill the law perfectly. And without him, we'd be trapped in our own sin and stumbling through life. We need to give Jesus first place in all areas of our life and to be led by his Spirit. As Paul says in verse 25, keeping in step with him. Next slide, please. When one of my colleagues was a boy, he and his best friend John were in a race similar to this. It was an egg and spoon race, but it was actually a blindfolded egg and spoon race. Well, the idea was that one person was to guide the other person around an obstacle course. But the race was about to begin, and this story might resonate with a few of you. When the teacher put the blindfold on Guy, that's my colleague, she didn't tie it tight enough. he could see a little bit of the grass below, and at that point he had the choice to make. Should he tell his teacher to tighten that blindfold a bit tighter, or should he say nothing and cheat? He thought no one was watching, so he decided to cheat. But his friend John knew, because once the race started, Guy wasn't following any of his instructions. Guy will always remember the look on his friend John's mum's face at the end of the race. It was one of horror, not joy. Guy and John were so far in front of the other people. She realised that he must have been able to see. And you know, God knows us completely. He sees what we try to hide. When God puts in our hearts the truth of who Jesus is, we have a choice to make. Do we listen and obey him? Or do we run the race of life in our own strength? Guy made the wrong choice because he knew by cheating he could win. Yes, he won the race, but inwardly he was full of guilt and shame. He'd actually lost in his heart and damaged his relationship with his friend John. And this is what happens when we don't walk by the Spirit and we live life in our own strength. We become prisoners to our own desires and we grieve the Spirit of God. We live a life where our hearts are damaged by guilt. But wonderfully, Jesus died to set us free. And this frees us from condemnation. He was raised to a new life by the same Spirit that lives in us. And the Holy Spirit was sent to be with us forever. The loving kindness of Jesus has set us free. He set us free by his Spirit from the debilitating effects of following our own desires. An encounter with Jesus does not simply free us from striving to obey the law and our old desires. It frees us from something, which leads on to our third point, freedom to serve. In Victor Hugo's famous novel, Les Miserables, Jean Valjean has spent 19 years in prison. 5 for stealing bread to feed his starving sister, and 14 for his escape attempts. When he's released, he has to carry a yellow passport. It marks him out as a prisoner, and as a result, none of the innkeepers will take him in. He ends up sleeping on the streets until one day a kind bishop takes him in. During the night, he steals the silverware, runs away with it, only to be caught red-handed by the police and brought back to the bishop's house. The bishop claims that he gave Valjean the silverware and even offers him 2 silver candlesticks. When the police have gone, the bishop tells him that he must use the silver to become an honest man. This is what he says. My brother, you no longer belong to what is evil, but to what is good. I have bought your soul, and I give it to God. Valjean leaves, transformed by grace. He didn't just avoid what he deserved. He got what he didn't deserve, freedom. He didn't just receive freedom from the prison cell. He received the freedom to make a new start, to begin again. And he could sell the silver to provide for his needs. Next slide, please. Paul says in verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But what does this freedom look like? Well, in verse 13, we've already heard that Paul wrote, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, But next, in verse 13, he writes, rather serve one another humbly in love. The whole of the law is summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus came to set us free from the burden of law, free from our sin, and for us to be free to serve others in love. I wonder if you can think of a time when you've been able to help somebody with an act of kindness. Could be something really big, could be something very small. You know, although it can be tiring to serve others, to choose to show love, if we do that in our own strength, but isn't it an amazing feeling to make a genuine difference to someone? This evening, you can serve someone just like Abu Bakr, who, unlike Jean Valjean, had done nothing that would warrant facing further imprisonment. Sadly, he has been in the chains of leprosy because of this cruel disease that he has that he didn't ask for. Although he was cured, the medicine came too late to stop him losing feeling in his hands and his feet. Leprosy damages nerves, which in turn cause a loss of feeling. And if you can't feel, then you can no longer feel pain. And any cut carries a significant risk of infection. For Abu Bakr, this meant his fingers became so damaged that some of them had to be amputated. As you can imagine, gripping and holding things is incredibly difficult for him. Even something as simple as getting dressed is a struggle. Worse still, one night, a lamp fell on Abu Bakr's leg while he was sleeping. Because he couldn't feel anything, his leg caught fire. And the wound that he now has on his leg is so severe that sadly amputation is the only option. He's faced so much already, and now this. He's devastated, but there is nothing else that can be done. He desperately needs a prosthetic leg so he can live an independent life again. Next slide, please. Unless Abu Bakr gets the bespoke prosthetic leg, he won't be able to work. His mother can't bear to see her son like this. She knows that Abu Bakr cannot move forward without that precious prosthetic. You can see in the slide here, the people who serve in our hospital in Chanchaga in North Nigeria, creating bespoke prosthetic legs for each individual. And you will notice that they match the skin color to give that person back not just freedom to be able to work, to be able to live again, to support their family, but also giving them back a sense of dignity. Many people, like Abu Bakr, have found hope and a chance to reclaim their lives, thanks to supporters like you. But there are many, many more people confined to their small shacks, desperately lonely, totally dependent on family members. And your kindness will ensure that Abu Bakr's story is not repeated in the lives of other young people in Nigeria. We're going to, what if we go back to the previous slide, there should be a film in there, I'm hoping. There we go, no, that's fine. So we're going to watch the film now, and you'll be able to see how your kind friend can bring freedom to someone like Abu Bakr. A long, dusty road in rural Nigeria
leads to the Leprosy Mission's Chanchaga Orthopedic Center. Here, staff work tirelessly, serving the least and the last. They're called to show Jesus' love in action to people who are disabled by leprosy. Their highly skilled hands craft bespoke prosthetic limbs and provide protective shoes, crutches, and wheelchairs. They restore mobility, self-esteem, and independence. Patients travel from all over Nigeria, spending days on the road to get to the center. It's the only place in Nigeria they can get the help they so desperately need. This center is a place of hope and healing for people like Abubakar, whose leprosy was cured, but too late to prevent the loss of feeling in his hands and feet that caused his disabilities.
I'm 20 now, and I was about 9 when I started getting high temperatures and strange sores and patches on my body. My mom took me to the neighboring state to get some herbal medicine, but it didn't work. 3 years later, someone told us about the leprosy hospital in Chanchaga. I was tested, and when I heard I had leprosy, I cried so much. My mom did too. We were so scared. My father left us because he was ashamed of my leprosy. Life is a struggle for us. I am at an age where I should be grasping opportunities. But because of my disabilities, I am struggling to grasp anything at all. My hands and feet are numb, and I'm always injuring myself. We live with my grandmother. There's no running water, which means I can't clean the courts properly. We have to walk several kilometers to a borewell. I didn't go to school for long because I couldn't hold a pen to write. I really loved studying. I wish I could do normal things like others my age, but I can't. It makes me cry sometimes. The ulcer on my leg was caused by a burn. A lamp fell on the bed while I was sleeping and set my leg on fire. It's really painful. When the doctor said I was going to lose my leg, I was in shock. How would I ever live a normal life or provide for my mother? But now I have seen others at the orthopedic center with artificial legs. I know I can still have a future. My mother could never afford the amputation or pay for a prosthetic leg. Without this center, I would have no hope. When I am healed by the grace of God, I would love to learn a trade. I want to look after my mom and help others.
Today, will you show Jesus' love in action to people like Abubakar? You can give the precious gifts of mobility and independence. Will you stand with the team at Chanchaga Orthopedic Center and show people who are disabled by leprosy that God loves them and that they have a future? One act of kindness from you today can change a life forever in Jesus' name. £24 cures one person of leprosy. £120 cures a family of five. £500 restores mobility and independence with a prosthetic leg.
Abubakar said in that film, "I'm at an age where I should be grasping opportunities, but I'm struggling to grasp anything at all." Today, you can set people like Abubakar free. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a world without any disabilities caused by leprosy? There's lots of different ways that you can get involved with the leprosy mission. And I ask you this evening whether you will join me in praying for people affected by leprosy like Abubakar. We would love hundreds of people to receive a life-changing prosthetic this year. I want you to go away this evening encouraged. I think sometimes when we're praying every day, we think, is God really hearing my prayers? Am I making a difference? You know, is it worth carrying on praying? Well, I'm going to encourage you this evening and tell you, yes, God does hear and answer your prayers. A group of my colleagues, and they went to Nepal recently. If you get the magazine, you will know in Anandaban, in the hills of Nepal, we have a hospital, a research center. And do you know, the day they arrived, the forest fires were raging. They were just, you know, a stone's throw away. It became apparent very, very quickly that they were going to have to help evacuate all the patients out of this hospital and get everything away as soon as possible, because the wind was sweeping these forest fires very rapidly. So, you know, the supporters who went on the trip, they rolled their sleeves up, they got stuck in, and they helped evacuate all our patients. and they had to be away from the hospital for a few days. When they came back, our CEO, Peter, he took some video footage. It was incredible what had happened. On the perimeter of Anandaban Hospital, where the fence is, if you look through, and he took some footage, and there will be a video soon when we have time to put it together, so look out for that, and I'm sure it will also feature in our magazine. But just the other side of the fence, you could see the trees were blackened where they had caught fire, and yet the building wasn't touched. There was no damage. It was a miracle, really, truly a miracle. And Peter said, I feel like I'm standing on sacred ground, and I feel like God is saying to me, you have seen my glory. You have seen my glory. That kept going over and over in his head. And you know, the leprosy mission was born and cradled in prayer. And we pray every day. So if you have any needs, please let me know, and I will take them to the team. We pray every morning. We pray for our supporters by name. You can call the Peterborough office. People will pray with you over the phone. We appreciate your prayers, but we will also pray for you. So be encouraged that God responds. God hears his people when they pray, and your prayers are powerful and effective. That's what it says in the Bible. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then, onto the next slide, please give what you can today. Could you cure a person of leprosy for £24 or a family of five for £120? It costs £500 to provide somebody who is disabled by leprosy with that life-changing prosthetic leg. That is the cost of giving someone, a young man like Abu Bakr, their mobility, their independence, their freedom. And that is precisely what you can do for somebody like him today. And I encourage you to think about that, to pray about that. How is God asking you to respond this evening to what we've been hearing? And then finally, perhaps you could commit to giving a regular gift for just £8 a month. If you were to sign up today, by this time next year, you would have cured four people of leprosy. Now, I don't know how much the coffee costs in Kent, but when I was going up to Peterborough office a few weeks ago, I was shocked and stunned, and not only myself, but the people in the queue, because I could hear them all gasping when we were saying, oh, paying for a coffee. I thought, I'll just get a coffee on the way up, you know, stop off and with my sandwiches. He said, £5.10. £5.10. The guy behind me said, no, I won't have a cake. You know, I think the coffee is costing me enough. That's crazy, isn't it? How much we're paying out for coffee and a cake. Could you give that up once a month and instead redirect that money, that £8 that God has blessed you with, and change four people's lives by this time next year? I just want to finish on our final slide by saying thank you so much again for inviting me to speak this evening and for supporting the work of the Leprosy Mission. Your amazing kindness and your prayers enable people like Abu Bakr to be set free from the limitations of leprosy. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. And just a reminder, if you've got any questions, Wendy will be out in the lounge while you get your tea and coffee. Feel free to ask any questions then. And for those of you who are keeping an ear on what's going on out the back, it's extra time. I won't tell you the score. Anyway, let's finish with one of Charles Wesley's greatest. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Please stand.
for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Die for me. 'Tis mystery all immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. See, oh, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more.
'Tis mercy,
'tis mercy, oh, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more. He left his father, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. His mercy, oh,
immense,
immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. I night diffused a queer fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee.
My chains
fell off,
my heart was free.
I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own.
Me. As I said, tea and coffee out in the lounge. But before we go out there, we share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.